Technology has brought a lot of changes to modern workplaces, and a lot of workers use digital forms of communication more and more, and in-person and phone conversations less and less. Even though things like email and texting and social media promised to make us feel more connected, they might be making us isolated and unhappy instead. Our next guest says that if companies make face-to-face interactions and empathy a part of the workday again, they'll get happier and more productive employees. Dan Chabelle is a New York Times bestselling author and a partner and research director at Future Workplace. His new book is called Back to Human: How Great Leaders Create Connection in the Age of Isolation. Dan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
So happy to be here with you.
Well, you've done a lot of research in this book. You've talked to a lot of CEOs and experts on this, but this is also a personal story. You are feeling this in your own work life. Can you talk about what this experience feels like, more isolation, less connection?
I live in New York City, and the population is about 1.6 million. Whether you're walking down the street, whether you're in a corporate office space, whether you're in the subway, you're around so many people, but at the same time, no one. Because people are physically there, but not mentally, spiritually, emotionally. Instead of looking at a person, they're looking down at a screen. Based on the Virgin Pulse study of 2,000 managers and employees, we found that up to half of someone's workday is being consumed using technology instead of face-to-face. And a study by the Harvard Business Review found that one face-to-face conversation is more successful than 34 emails back and forth. So being human matters, and we can create more understanding if we pick up the phone, do a video conference, or have one face-to-face conversation.
Right. It seems like every year, every 6 months for the past 10 or 20 years, there was this new technology, this new way to chat with your coworkers, a new software that was going to help you collaborate and make you more productive. How is it actually affecting how we feel at the workplace?
Yeah. Technology has created the illusion that we're hyper-connected, that we have abundance, and that we have even a lot of friends, Facebook friends, right? When in reality, our overuse and misuse of that technology has created weaker ties, not stronger bonds in many cases. And while we think we might have a lot of friends on Facebook, if you have 150 friends on average on Facebook, only four you can rely on at a time of an emotional crisis. In meetings, we send an average of 5 texts, so no one's actually present. We're more concerned about what's going on outside of those 4 walls when we should be paying attention and respecting the person who's speaking.
Now, you write this book. It's pitched toward leaders and, I think, everyday workers. Let's talk to the boss right now, a CEO or a manager at a workplace. What would you say to them to start, tipping the scale in the other direction, how to create more, better connection among your employees?
It starts with the 4 employee engagement factors. So it has nothing to do with technology and everything to do with trust, belonging, happiness, and purpose. So if you instill those in the workplace culture, people will naturally feel comfortable being their best self at work, opening up, sharing personal things. They'll want to come to the corporate office. They'll want to pick up the phone more. A lot of the things I talk about in the book can naturally happen if you have the right culture where people feel respected and can freely share their ideas. People don't naturally want to be, someone different outside the office than they are at the office. They just want to be themselves. And I think in today's world, leaders need to empathize with employees and understand where they're coming from and provide an environment where they feel comfortable sharing ideas without repercussions. And when you do that, people won't always default to looking at a phone. They'll start to open up. They'll start to invite their coworker to lunch or for coffee. And I know this because early in my career, I just had lunch in my cubicle, and that's before we've had advanced technology. And so knowing that, knowing where I've come from and where I am now, I'm more conscious of the importance of human connection. I call my mom more than she calls me, and she's going to be 70. So I think this book is a reminder, it's an awakening that says, oh, my God, Maslow's hierarchy of needs exists. We need safety, security, food, shelter, love, and relationships. Otherwise, we'll never be fully productive.
Now, if I'm a manager, and I'm not, and that's okay, but if I was, I might be tempted to think it's a lot easier to say, okay, here's our new whatever collaboration software, our new chat function, install it, read the manual, and use it. That sounds easy compared to creating a whole new workplace culture and climate. That sounds hard. Is it?
Yeah, I think it starts with a manager or a CEO, right? It's always top down. And if you show good behavior, if you practice what you preach, if you even do something as basic as saying, hey, everyone, this is what's really going on in our work environment, or I'm not so great at this skill. Can someone help me? Showing a little vulnerability, showing that everyone's human. And then having like a, you know, there's exercises in the book. You sit in a meeting with people on a Monday, for instance, and you say, hey, everyone, come with a new idea to the meeting and we'll hash it out. But I want to hear everyone's idea. So that gives people a sense of belonging. And you ensure that you're not punishing people for bad ideas or making fun of them. You're embracing them, even if that idea isn't the final solution. Together, through healthy arguments and discussion, you can come up with something that's going to be good for everyone and benefit the company.
Now, most of us aren't the boss. What if we're in that position? We are, let's say, in an office, and we feel like we have to devote ourselves to keeping up with the emails, the texts, the, I don't know, Slack, whatever other online communication we use. How can we start, at least for ourselves, to bring back that human touch?
You know, I think it comes to two things. One, healthy boundaries. So, you know, people need to actually take vacation and, like, actually take vacation. Not having your phone is the new vacation, right? If you lose cell phone service, it can be healthy for your relationships. That's the world we live in now. So if you're on vacation, no, don't use email, don't text, and your boss has to be okay with that. And that's what's good. You know, I mean, Daimler in Germany, they have mail on holiday. If you email an employee when they're on vacation, your email is automatically deleted, which creates good behavior. I think that's a huge thing, is creating boundaries. And then what we found in the research is it's about social events, team building activities, workation. Basically what it means is take your employees outside of the typical office environment and they'll open up.
Now, one thing that might be difficult, you really like face-to-face communication when that's possible in the workplace. And I'm right there with you. I'd rather walk over to somebody's office if I can than send them an email. But you're also, you favor phone conversations over the text or email when possible. And it seems like there's this culture change where we're really reluctant to pick up a phone and call each other.
Yeah, that's why it stands out more than ever before. And what I would say, too, is I think video conferencing is even better and more important, especially with remote workers. A third of workers globally work remote. 2/3 of them are disengaged. I think. You know, having video conferencing is important because at least you get to see someone. And, you know, most communication is nonverbal. And so to see how people are expressing themselves, and you get a better sense of who they are and what they're trying to communicate. So it can make things more clear than even a phone call. But if we're just defaulting to texting, we tap our devices over 2,600 times a day. We look at our phones every 12 minutes. If we're constantly doing that, and that's, you know, if you get into an argument with your coworker, a text is going to make it worse. An email is going to make it worse, right? But if you're trying to remind someone to do something, a text and an email makes a lot more sense. If you want to do a team update on a Monday and send a debrief without action items, just an update, I think that's perfectly fine to send an email. But if you feel like, oh, my God, this is my 10th email and this person doesn't understand me, they probably don't. And that's a signal and feedback to you that you should pick up the phone.
How do you? How does an organization establish a hierarchy of communication? Say, hey, in these instances, let's have that face-to-face. In these instances, set up the video conference. Here's what we as an organization use email for, and so on, to make sure that we're just skipping over a lot of those pratfalls that you just mentioned.
Yeah, I think it's having open discussions with people, figuring out what tools they want to use, how they best communicate, setting things that are consistent, right? So every Monday we do a video conference call and allow our remote workers to lead some of the meetings. You know, it's really setting the tone as a leader and making things that are consistent in terms of check-ins, because really what it comes down to is touch points. Every time you recognize an employee, every time you share something, every time you have a video conference meeting, all of this adds up to creating a more socialized, engaged workforce. And when you do that, people are more productive, the company grows, and you have less turnover. And you can't grow if you're constantly trying to replace employees that have weak connections within the company.
Now, a lot of what you talk about in the book is about communication, but at a more fundamental level, you're looking at happiness and fulfillment for workers. And you start with a couple ways we can measure ourselves or our employees. Can you talk about some of the questions we should be asking ourselves to figure out whether we're happy in our work?
Yeah, and focus on your own fulfillment before you try and help others. You need to be a role model for them, figure yourself out. So so that you are empowered, you bring positivity, and can really encourage them. And in terms of questions, it's about, like, you know, what are you good at? What have you been passionate about in the past? You know, what are your values? It's really about figuring yourself out. And a lot of people won't take the time, because of technology, we're always on, right, to actually sit down and think of, okay, who am I? What are my values? What's my vision? What's my leadership style? You know, what type of people should I surround myself with, in a sense, in the workplace setting? Who should I recruit? And that should be part of your recruiting criteria. So if you don't know yourself, you know, and you try and help other people, in the back of your head, when you're helping them, you're still thinking about yourself. And so you need a clear vision so you can bring other people along that journey with you.
And you've talked to CEOs of some pretty big companies and smaller ones along the way to writing this book. Are they buying what you're selling?
I think one of the most interesting, it's still early, you know, the book came out just a few weeks ago, but one of the things that's been confirmed is the biggest finding in the book, which was, it was pretty bold. It's like, if you work remote, you're much less likely to want a long-term career at your company. And it's very remote work, and having flexibility is very personal to people, right? And so when that stat came out, I was a little nervous, because it's profound. It's something new. It's the dark side of remote work. Everyone talks about the freedom and flexibility to work when, where, and how you want, not the dark side. And more people in various audiences and CEOs say, yes, that is the dark side. We don't talk about it, but it's a conversation that we need to have.
We'll leave it there for now. Dan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Dan Chabal is an author and the research director at Future Workplace. We've been talking about his new book. It's called Back to Human: How Great Leaders Create Connection in the Age of Isolation.